down in Montana, you know, you got to go 200 miles to get down in the mountains where I live. It wasn't.
Okay, we are gathered here. Thank you for your patience. So, are we on now, Lisa?
Yep.
All right. So it is Wednesday, January 23rd. The time is 2:35 p.m. And we are here now to have our budget workshop session with information technology. So Barb Steinbach is here, and I'm going to invite you to tell us highlights, or what would you like to say to start us off?
Well, hello. Thanks for having me. I'm excited about going over our budget this year. We're going to enjoy some improvements with the network and trying to catch up on projects. So all good things for the county.
Okay. So I did notice just kind of overall that when it came to expenses, you're anticipating requesting a bit less than the anticipated, the re-estimated expense here. So I believe based on our previous conversation with planning and development that we had, and also some questions with the attorney's office, that we likely will be adjusting then the request that you have for fiscal year 2020 after we have a discussion about licensing and equipment. Okay. So, but let's start with the revenue, because you basically get revenue from us to begin with. So does Supervisor Sanders or Supervisor Merkin want to make any comments about the amount of the intra-county reimbursement or transfer as it appears now before we have the discussion?
I don't have any questions. Okay.
Sanders? Okay. No one else? Let's move to the expenses. Right. Any comment on anything in expenses except for licensing and equipment?
So a vehicle fuel, are you not, so I know you don't own, that IT doesn't have a vehicle anymore, but are you not using any county vehicles anymore? And if you are, why aren't you putting gas in it?
We use the, well, this was created before we started using a van, so we use that occasionally when we want to haul computers around and stuff. So I guess I probably should have put a little bit of money in there.
I do. I mean, I think our policy has been that if a department uses one of the vehicles that the board creates, we just ask that they bring it back with the asset.
Right.
But the fuel card that goes with, is it charged out for a department?
So then that answers the problem.
We use the car and we use the building. Yeah,
one line item.
Oh, exactly.
County line, yeah.
So I don't need to put in. Usually, what our trips are 5 miles or less when we're traveling between the departments. I would like to, under communication services, we recently got approved for the extended fiber here, so that will change that line item near the bottom. Central Iowa broadband. I had 6,600 budgeted. That will now be 15,000 with the 1 gig connection. And then also the next line, if we choose to do it or not, we're running into some of the same issues at our HSC building. And we did recently get a quote, which I can bring to the board, but just FYI, if we got a 100 meg connection in Ames at the HSC building, it would be $900 a month instead of $400. So just kind of an FYI, we decided to go that way. Kyle is evaluating the usage right now. Had a lot of complaints that it's slow, and especially the gas network, which we try to follow as much as possible. It's not meant to be used for your daily work.
So to confirm, we're going from Central Iowa Broadband from 6,600 to 15,000.
Yes.
And this is in for fiscal year 2020. Central CenturyLink for the Human Services Center from 4,800
to 9,000. No, 4,800
to 10,800. Budget for the upgrade.
Thank you.
Is that what you want to do?
Yes.
So that's the right.
If that's acceptable, that we do it this way.
Okay.
is there a better solution than going to the 10 or 100 meg with CenturyLink?
Well, the only other options we have are MediaCom, and that would be probably a lot more expensive.
Sure.
MediaCom is
And what they do is, what MediaCom sells their packages is you have maybe 10 subscribers per so many feet, and if one subscriber is using more than their, you're limited by what the other subscribers are doing. They'll try. And at least with CenturyLink, you're guaranteed that for whatever you pay for. So that's why I like to have the T1 with CenturyLink.
Moving over to the top of page 126, which is the narrative page. All right. For the department multi-agency group, would that be an appropriate place to discuss P&D's citizen serve?
No, they're not part of the multi-agency group. That would be the 911 ISU City of Ames and the Sheriff's Office.
Got it. Okay. All right. So then we go down to equipment rent and maintenance. It looks like then this is where licenses are?
Yes.
Okay.
And this might be, well, usually if it's the first year, if it's new software, we put them in the individual group. Like if you go down, if you turn the next page, you see at the bottom of that page is health. Like that's where we put the individual packages. That would be at the bottom of page, near the bottom of one, page 127, then it splits it out into departments. That's where we would put P&D.
Okay. All right. So right now, we saw that the $48,000 to bring it this citizen serve up would be, was it in the P&D budget at $48,000? So can you help me understand why it would not go under their department showing, you know, and on your list, though?
It depends on if they want to buy it right now or if they want to wait until FY 2020. That's usually the way we do it. If you can't wait and we have a budget for it, go to the board and see if you can get it. Otherwise, if he's planning to use it next year, definitely it would go in our budget. I think Jerry was just trying to be overly careful and maybe trying to make sure he did everything correctly. I have no problem with putting it in my budget. Then we can, and we did meet with him and look at the different packages and helped him select our package. So I wasn't sure why he wanted it in his own unless it was to get it before next fiscal year.
I didn't hear a request before the next fiscal year. Okay.
Because I do have equipment under hardware for him to have a field laptop and keyboard to run that software. So there's no reason why it can't be in the IT budget.
Okay.
But you've got the case for that in his budget.
We'll have to coordinate all of that.
Well,
and so it's $48,000?
48 or 14 is the plan.
Okay. 48 to 50.
Thank you.
And the difference would be if it's under his, it would be paid out of the rural fund. Under IT, it's running out of the general.
Is that a major difference?
That is a major difference. And the other thing is, however, that's the board determination at all points in time.
We can still pay for it out of the rural fund and have it under our budget as long as that's where it goes.
We don't have line items for that. We pay for Barb's budget out of the general fund and whether it's mental health, and then mental health is a separate entity for that, or a separate baby. So we don't split out, you know, patrol, any of the other rural fund accounts.
Right.
We don't split out it for budget.
But we don't, but that doesn't mean we can't. Right?
Correct.
Okay. I didn't say we Martha would like it. I just said we could.
But 48,250 are
okay. I got it. So,
and I would prefer that it appear as a under the IT budget, but yes, definitely if you need to create a new line for rural fund within her budget, like you know, for like you know, the animal control here is $2,000. That could come out of rural fund also.
Yeah, we're going to have to. Yeah,
it
could. Okay.
What kind of direction do you need if we ask you to create a new fund?
Well, I think that that's probably a decision we'll want to make when we are looking at how funding looks overall.
Okay.
At this point in time, the rural fund was real tight. So
okay.
Exactly.
We could keep that as a let's see how things come
right
up,
along with
depending on your debt.
You know, I just need to make sure that we are clear when we go co-claim that they get out of the right place, because it's not as easy as just doing that before.
So, let's just be really clear. It's extra work to create the fund and pay for something out of that fund. And from my perspective, the only reason we would do it is if it was one of those years where we had capacity in rural, but not in. We can always pay for it out of general. We can't always pay for it out of rural. And so when you make that decision is when we start talking about what our funds look like, and we know that rural's a little tight this year. I just wanted to underscore the point that we could have it under IT and still pay for it out of rural.
Okay.
Not that we should.
Got it. Thank you. Great. So then we had a discussion with the county attorney, and there was a question about what was being paid out of her new software, and it is the software that helps them edit the videos. Okay, as I'm turning in someone else,
it's a watch guard, so they want to get it this fiscal year. The actual
watch guard
or watch guard,
right?
Why did I think it was watch guard?
I like that. Yeah, that's okay.
Sorry,
we hired a new control.
Go ahead and use it. I agree. And then the storage, the cost of the storage, we can have that discussion. But I think they want purchase. My understanding from their budget work session is they want to make purchase for the computer licensing right now. They need it now. So that's why that expense will come out of the county attorney's budget unless the board has a different take on it.
And that
storage
would
be needed.
Yeah, just have that discussion that, you know, if it's something they have to have and it's not budgeted, that they would try to find the funds themselves or come to the board for a budget amendment.
Yeah.
And if that's how you'd like me to proceed, that's how we've done it for the last 7 years. If that's acceptable.
Right, but then ongoing costs go to IT.
Right. Then the next year we'd be able to budget for it and do a work for it.
Right.
I think it makes sense the way we've been doing it. Mid-year purchases, that should be the cut. To me, in this case, and I'm not trying to just use the county attorney, it's just we haven't been talking about that. If the county attorney feels like it's something we need to get and it's not budgeted, we need to hear from the county attorney why that is. We did
right. The
other day. And so I think it's the way we're doing it is appropriate. I just want to make sure that we start getting all ongoing IT-related issues in the IT budget.
All right, and thank you for the reminder clarification.
But I think this process also gives the department a sense of ownership and responsibility for how they're spending money. If they just say, well, let's throw in the IT budget, then they don't have to think so much about, well, is this the best solution? Do we really need it? Is this something we can do without? So I think it makes them think a little bit more about that rather than, well, let's just throw in IT.
Well, it sounds like planning and development job. Reached out to your department. I mean, they did their own homework on this, but they reached out to your department because Joel was here and talking about that. That if the departments are working closely with you,
I don't know why you put it in this zone. I would have expected that to go in harm with it.
Yeah, but in terms of the decision, is it a good idea or not?
Yes,
it seems like your departments were closely with your department to determine that this was a good idea, this was a reputable vendor, this would work with our system.
We looked at several different packages that he was interested in, and we had good questions that he hadn't thought of. So, yes, I encourage everybody, if you're into something like that, make sure you reach out to us. Some versions of Adobe, for example, don't work well with other versions of software, so there's a conflict there, and we know about it, but maybe, you know, the end user does not. So we ask a lot of questions, and sometimes that doesn't go over very well, but we're just trying to get information so we can come up with the best solution.
Exactly.
what I'm hearing is if it's not already budgeted in your mid-year, the department wants it. It's not in your budget because it hasn't already been budgeted, so they should look to their own budget. But if they're working on something for the upcoming year, it would go into your budget.
Yes.
And then even if the first thing, if it was paid for by the county attorney's office first year, the costs would then roll into your budget. So we've got all our IT costs where they should be
current.
And we can look at this as the IT costs to the county.
Sure.
Thank you. Exactly.
Yeah, and it's much clearer to me now. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, so moving on, are there any other items in IT's expense side that catch your eye or you want to ask questions about?
Can we go back to the first page?
We can.
I just wanted, I'm sorry, I missed this before. I wanted to point out that also under the communication services, near the bottom of the first page,
sure.
I have the money in there for a connection for animal control.
Yes.
They are requesting 4 computers for next year. We currently have a Windstream DSL that will not handle 4 computers. This solution will bring them onto our network, get them onto our phone system, get them onto our internet. Well, they can use the internet, but email everything through their system. And what it is a microwave connection, and it's a one-time cost of $15,000, and then that also includes 5 years maintenance right on top. So just FYI, I have a budget for 2020. If we feel we need to do that before then, I'll come to the board and ask for permission.
What kind of speed are they getting on the microwave connection? So it's a microwave connection from this building to that building?
Yes.
Will it be the 1 gig?
Yes.
Okay.
It will be like a resource.
And they will know it.
We'll have a phone there.
Does animal control need 4 different workstations? So it seems to me that they've got, so I get that some of them need workstations, maybe all of them do, but it seems like the way they work, they kind of flow through and we may not need 4.
Here's how it was according to me. So Debbie has one at the front desk, and Sue has one, and then Anna has one, and she does charge for things. And then they said it would be nice if the other employees had a group while they log in and get their email. Because right now, they suspect they're not logging in with their email because they would have to kick somebody else off their
Does this at all tie into the panic button situation about them needing so many phone lines? Because remember Jody talked to us about that they will have a need of 4
fire alarms. Yes.
They have
fire alarms.
Okay, wrong emergency.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not a voice system. No. That land.
Different solution. Just wanted to make sure.
And we're on the topic of animal control. I just want to point out to the board, because I don't believe this was mentioned during the animal control work session, on page 127, about halfway down under Department of Animal Control, they are looking at a software package to help with some tracking, right now, again, for efficiency and streamlining. I mean, they're doing a lot of things by paper and pen right now, and so this is just that effort to bring things into a more efficient.
And Debbie called me, reached out to me, and I just picked an example here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that might not be what they choose, but we needed to do that to get a budgetary quote on how much we need.
And all I'll say about that is, and I love the job that that our staff in Animal Control is doing, but the best software in the world, if it's not utilized, it didn't work.
Right.
So, Bart, I would ask, is there anything else new or substantively changing in either our hardware purchases, and I want to talk some about computer monitors, and our software purchases?
Well, I made a note to myself about the IBM Passport Advantage. It's about midway up on
126.
We don't know what that's going to be, if that's going to change or not. That's currently what it is. We are replacing the server next month. And so that could change. Also, above that, the CTI NOV4 for $2,500. I'm not sure if I'm going to renew that or not.
What does it do for us?
This is the surprise emails you get that try to catch you and to put you on links and things. We get enough of the real stuff.
Pretty good data from it. I mean, you...
No, and that's why I'm not... People aren't clicking on the links. They're forwarding emails to me and saying, oh, look what I found. So if they had clicked on the link, then they would get training, which was my whole goal for the software, to get people training. So they're not clicking on the link.
Well, if you give me 2,400, I'll send out fake emails to you. I don't buy that we're getting value out of that.
And if they're not clicking on the link, then that means...
That's good.
Yes.
I want them to get training, too. So I may find an alternative or a basis cut. Well, it doesn't sound like
we need
it. Yeah. How about if we just go ahead and pull out that
2,500? Okay.
Anything else that you'd want to know for us?
No, not on the page.
Are we still on top right now?
That's your phone right now.
I'm sorry. I do want to know that for under HR, the first form would be new.
And we are under the equipment.
So NeoGov, we use NeoGov for our tracking systems, which I think we implemented back in 2011-12. That was one of the first things that they timed here. I guess you used to get applications emailed. We then put them off and do. The perform is incorporating it, it kind of ties together when you have new hires, and then the performance management, everything would be electronic versus paper. So it would take some training.
Everything would be electronic. Just paper. You don't have to sign 50 forms with your name and address.
It would be all electronic.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's NeoGov has good solutions. It takes a lot of sending up, I will say that, because we do it all ourselves. The template. So it may be if it's approved, I would want to reach out to NeoGov and say, we're not going to be fully functioning. Is there any way we could get a reduced rate for the first year? It's going to take 6 months before they got her to get it. It took the applicant tracking, it took me a long time to get it. They have really good customer support, but you just have to set everything up the way you want it, which is nice once it's all done. So I did have it in there last year. We did cut it because it was the end of it.
Well, so as I recall, you felt like you weren't ready to really take that pass on. Do you feel like you're ready this year?
I think by July we'll be close. Yeah, and they were trying to get all this new recruitment stuff, and I think the performance management piece that we have right now is working. It's just a lot of entries. And yep. They want the spreadsheet.
It's all Excel-based.
Yeah, and then there has to be email reminders. So if we get a system like this, it's all automatic.
And I know dealing with me, the people that I've reviewed, and now Loris will be reviewing, it's hit and miss. I mean, Noelle has to chase me down to give her copy sometime. I think it'd be beneficial to us to kind of have this seamless system where you aren't looking for our last evaluation on somebody, or if you have that on your computer, or I like it if you're ready to do it, because as I recall, we took it out last year.
And it was one of the items that I said we could cut. I really like to get it in this year. It might not happen until, like I said, it's going to take a while to set up.
Advantage
to implementing it on calendar year, or any decisions you do on your basis? Like, I don't
know.
All the evaluations are done on the anniversary date.
Okay.
So,
performance
evaluations are done.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's different reports. And, for all of the users, which would be the department that would log in, I think NeoGov applicant tracking is really easy to use. This looks, simple. They can keep notes. They can go back from here. They don't have to have paper copies. I mean, it just really streamlines everything. As with anything, it's going to take some time to get used to it, some training. Mm-hmm. On our part. So.
This is a little while to start here. To be comfortable with it, keeping everything there in one place, but once it's there, it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
Our performance reviews are relatively new. Mm-hmm. And our merit-based system of pay is really new. And I think this is the logical next step for us to get to.
Nothing else there then, it sounds like.
Yeah, so now I'm down to the data processing equipment. We've got a rotation of 25 new PCs a year, but we're not getting new screens, new monitors. When we get those PCs, I'd like to see about, so as I read it, you're buying 10 monitors per year to replace monitors that so I think when we replace the PC, we should be looking at replacing the monitors. Do you not feel that way?
Typically, the monitors last longer than the PC.
Okay.
I've had the same monitors since I started. I've had the same PC since I started. When they break, like these are the LCD monitors, when they break, the screen will go fuzzy. And they can last 10 years. So why replace them if they're still good and working? And some of them get accidentally dropped or tipped over. So that's why we have the 10 replacements. But generally, if the computer needs to be replaced, the monitor.
Absolutely, but we've got, still got some of the older, so newer monitors that we have, I'm with you, but we've still got some of the older monitors that don't quite line up with the software packages. People have two screens and things like that, and I'm wondering if we can go ahead and get those requested. The county attorney, I think, has requested, I think, 25 monitors, if I remember right, and I think there's probably some other monitors around that have, in fact, outused their useful life.
We try to replace anything that's under 19 inches. And generally, users are fine with keeping the monitor.
Sure.
The county attorney was concerned about the color of the outside of the monitor. They wanted them to match.
Or the casing?
Yes, the frame. The resolution was the same, and that's important. I think that's more important than whether the color is the same. If the resolution is the same and you're going back and forth, that's important rather than the color. I know some of their desks will not handle dual monitors. They're not big enough. And some of the attorneys walking around will curve their laptop here and a monitor here on end. And that's the setup they prefer. So I'm not sure where the 25 monitors came from. It was not a budget request. I received no budget request from county attorney when I asked for them. All we got, and we have no email to confirm either, we may have gotten a Skype asking what's the cost of the monitor.
Good.
So that's what I know about.
Can we go and just take a look? Can you tell us how old those monitors are?
Sure. Yeah, we can do that.
And kind of take a look and see, you know, maybe dive into how many do they actually need and what do they need, one, do they need two? I don't know, board. I mean, if they're 20-year-old monitors, I have no idea how old they are.
Yeah, so anyway, we've gotten to the bottom of this now. I believe that now, if the county attorney wants new monitors, IT has, as I'm here, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, and I hear it, IT has assessed the situation. They didn't get a request from the county attorney's office manager, and so they didn't put anything in their budget. Now, if the county attorney's office has decided they want new monitors, that's fine. They get to put it in their budget, and we get to either approve it or not approve it. As long as you're comfortable that us purchasing these 10 monitors a year is sufficient for what we're trying to do.
It has been. And what we're going to do right now, we're going through the rotation of the county attorney's computers. So, and our state attorney was shut down for a whole while. We're trying to get our furnace in there, so we've got a little time. But they're working on installing those now, and then once we're done with that, we don't have our next batch until June, then we'll review the monitors. Maybe there's one here and one here that match. We can bring together so that the frames match. But, yeah, we try to get them up and running as quickly as possible, and switching a monitor around isn't probably a priority, but it's something that it's on our back burner, and we're looking at it. But, no, I did not get a request from you.
I had, I think, sent an email a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago. It has been rather recently asking that when you came that if there was any expense involved in the possibility of us creating a second or another guest account that only could be entered by a password, but that would allow us to keep internet access or Wi-Fi access for people who are staying after the normal time.
have it set down and on weekends. And I was wondering if we asked you to set up something like that so that if people are working later than 7 o'clock and they're using a personal device, like a tablet or, you know, a Mac, their own personal computer, or for someone who are attending an evening meeting here, maybe say that, let's say B and Z that starts at 4, but all of a sudden, unfortunately, running until 8:30 or 9, that they don't lose access to the Internet. Is there cost involved with that?
Well, going back to P&Z, usually when they have a late meeting, they let us know and they extend the Wi-Fi for that amount of time. As far as cost, we don't have the bandwidth to do that right now. And
so if I'm here, and this is for, I'm referencing me, we do want our director out earlier usually and not be here late at night, but I think, I know, at least for me, you know, sometimes I don't, I can be here till 9:30 or 10, and I want to be on my personal computer, and then I'm going back and forth between the two systems, my desktop and my own personal computer. And I'm just wondering why we can't set something up for our elected officials who are working or our guests, if we would have a special meeting, that we can just go in after 7 o'clock and enter a password so that you've locked out everybody else, but that, so we're not limited in using our personal devices. Is that possible? You know, because otherwise, I guess I'm a freer spirit. There may be other freer spirits who come in the future and are okay working till 10 or 10:30 at night and want capability to do that. And I have to tether in. All right. And we all know what happened one time when I thought I tethered in instead on a Saturday, for example, you know, and I ended up on my Netflix. But that's not the reason I want it. I mean, I want it to be able to fully work and not have to say at 7 o'clock, I got to go now.
Right. But so you keep asking the question if it's possible. Of course it's possible. But I don't think this is can you help me if I'm missing this? This isn't a password issue. This is that to this point, for security reasons, we decided we were going to shut down the Wi-Fi at 7 p.m. unless there was something else going on, so that we don't have people pulling up outside the parking lot, and we're not worried about whether there's a password or not. We're worried about whether the system is turned on. And if we, the three of us, decide that we're going to have the system on, even if there's an objection from IT for security reasons, we absolutely have the authority to say it's going to be off, right? So is it possible? Absolutely. I just think that to this point, I think we've made, from a security point of view, a pretty reasonable decision. And if we want to adjust a little bit, we want to set it up where it turns off at 9 p.m. or midnight or never turn off, we can do that. I just want us to think all the way through of what we're getting and what we're potentially giving up.
Right.
Right? And but can we do it? Sure we can.
So back to the security risk, because I've already had the discussion, I think, with Alyssa about people sitting outside and using the Wi-Fi. So I understand where, you know, we tried to pick a reasonable, what seems to be a reasonable time. Okay? So, security-wise, if we leave it up longer, is there a vulnerability there that if there would be a password on it, right, is it more vulnerable at 9 o'clock with a password than it is at 7 without? And I'm thinking from being able to get in, you know, to it. What's the risk here of having Wi-Fi with a password?
There is a risk, which is mentioned, but also we like to have windows where we can do network maintenance without interfering with the regular. So we have periodic maintenances that we do, which is another reason why we have limited these hours. But right now, I would say there's not enough bandwidth to create that separate channel. Once we improve it to 1 gig, there certainly would be the bandwidth.
Second, but so what do you have to do on your, just so I understand, are you transferring documents from your personal PC to that through the internet?
Sometimes that has become such an issue that I'd love to be able to talk to IT or Kim or somebody about this, because I'm Mac-based. Supervisor Merkin is Mac-based. I don't know what her desire is here, but I've gone to flash drive back and forth. I mean, you know, no, it's more about not having to tether in and the risk that as I'm tethering in that I haven't really tethered, so I'm on my device and I end up not actually bypassing the system. I'm bypassing our Wi-Fi instead of tethering to my own cellular data. And I have an unlimited plan, or I mean, it's so high I've never used all of it. But I still, there's that fear there that I'm going to end up back on the Wi-Fi. I've done it a couple times where I've ended up back on us, and then at 7 o'clock, bam, you know, I'm just done. So that's just it. Wondering if we were able to more easily use our devices, or a guest that was with us to use the device. That's what it is. But you're saying there are several reasons. I hear the backup or the maintenance one. I had not considered that. You guys are always really good about sending out. So that's why I just wanted to understand what the use was of the guest networks. Whether it was for, I mean, are you counting, I mean, are you transferring up the internet? Sometimes, yes.
Okay.
You know, when I was, the night I sent this request, I may have emailed it to you the next morning, but I actually wrote it at 10 o'clock at night as I was sitting at my desk here. So that's just what it is accessibility outside of the normal hours. If it's not possible, then it's not possible, or if it creates too many other problems, then it's not worth it to adjust it for just me or maybe one or two other people who might be here late at night for some reason or, you know, for an ID. That's why I just asked. I said, you know, but what would the cost be? You told me it's not a cost issue, really. It's a bandwidth issue. You told me it's a late night maintenance issue.
So it's a management issue also. That would be for networks, wireless networks, we would have to manage, which if we're updating them, it is a separate network that has to be updated separately. So there's just that. I mean,
right.
It's not a huge, but it's just another reason.
Thank you.
Okay, as being not nearly as technical as most of the people in this room, let me ask a question. I'm here on a weekend, and I'm using my county computer system as well.
Mm-hmm.
I can do anything.
All the time. Yep, all the time.
So it's just your personal device that you're going to use.
From
the internet on your,
yeah.
Brought in a laptop.
Yeah. Because you're hardwired.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought.
Yes, on
that's
your.
What I thought. Yeah. I was just trying to find, I mean, if I'm at home and I didn't take my laptop and I'm doing some work on my own computer, I will just simply email it to myself here, and that's how I get it here. I don't need you as a flash drive or anything like that. Would I prefer to use my Mac?
Of course I would. I love it.
But no. County's providing me with it, and I think I'm figuring out how to use it. I was glad to figure out a couple more things this week. I didn't really know we should get into the employee intranet of our website.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I couldn't do that. Oh, I could. That's up all the time, right?
You can do it at home or wherever.
Yeah, I could do that at home. And the intranet is separate, so you can log in. You don't have to be on the county network to log into the intranet.
Yeah, we'll get everything on that, but we'll get some stuff.
You can try and run our
well, I
don't anything that works without that for us, right? That's the county network, but all of them is on the other.
Okay, thank you. And then the other question I have is related to the previous discussion about the cloud. So obviously, CitizenServe is a cloud-based. Are we now becoming more comfortable with the cloud for accommodating maybe transfer of information from, say, one of our personal devices and transferring over? No?
No. And this is similar to what the Veterans Affairs is asking for. It's more like software as a service, where the information in the cloud is something they're managing. It's not really sort of county information. It could be public information. It's something that they're managing. We always pay them to manage it. We don't have to have a server involved or any hardware or anything. We just keep paying them and for the right to use it, basically. So it's a little different from the cloud, and it's called SaaS, Software as a Service. It seems to be where people are going because it costs money to have hardware, and then you have to update it, and you have to replace it, and you have to patch it, and not all the time patches are available, and then you run into a problem or somebody's hijacked it, and you have to wait until the patch comes out. So a lot of software is going that way. I would say for the little onesie-twosie thing, it's fine. I'm still not an advocate of putting Surrey County data on the cloud. We may get there eventually, but not today.
Probably going to keep on asking.
I know you will.
Okay, thank you.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm done with my personal preference questions.
Okay.
Anything else?
I am. One thing, go ahead. There's one other thing. The paging system for Justice Center, can you talk about that a little bit? I just want to make sure that's the safety, you know, the safety committee.
And that goes hand in hand. So we had a meeting talking about the concern for the lack of paging at the Justice Center. And we've tossed this ball around a few times, got a quote probably 2 years ago. The paging system was there, but never hooked up when the phone system was originally put in 1998. Ran out of funds, so it was just sitting there. Hasn't been used. The amplifier does work. It's probably a good idea to replace it if everyone needs a paging system. That quote would include also adding speakers over in the admin area where the sheriff is and the lady sits. But then they also, so it was voted in that meeting that it would be the next question. Doesn't have to be, but I said, okay, fine. I got the quotes. I'll put it in my budget. And then we also felt it should be kind of a two-part solution where there'd be a software complement to go with that. And so I think I did include, what is it called? E-Panic. I said, you have under software. I did include that as a complement then to the paging system. What the e-panic does is anytime you talk about trying to reach everybody in an event of emergency, it's like, well, what about the citizens that are in the hallway? What about the people that are in the bathroom? You know, so this e-panic, or what if you're not at your computer, this wouldn't get it, but what it would do is throw up a little stop sign on the screen telling you there's an emergency. Similar to NeoGov, you configure what the emergency was and what they would see on their screen, but it would stay there until they answered it. And it would give out information, the things the paging system would do. So those are two things that in our little group, that was Todd, and I believe Julie was there, and Micah, and Josh Houston. So that's what we came up with. It's in my budget.
There's been a lot of discussion that one solution doesn't cover anything, unfortunately.
So under contract labor, you have removal of old equipment. Is that assuming old phone equipment for $5,000? That's assuming you're going to what's that removal?
This is so our team wants to Windstream is tied to this old phone equipment, and we're wanting to like get rid of that eventually. But if we do, all the tax lines will go down. So we have to get this off of our system in order then to decide what to do with the team on. So that's what that is, and that would be BlackRock that has to do that.
Are the fax machines used a significant amount of the time by some departments?
Yeah. I think we use ours a lot.
Okay.
I think the other one picks up a bunch of materials to get that.
But what that also gives us is every fax machine has a phone jack, so you can plug in a phone. If there was an emergency, you know, just like this cause,
right?
If our internet went down, we could still communicate by plugging in a $2, you know, phone that we got at a garage sale and calling each other.
Or contact room.
Yeah.
I'm going to get Randy Markley if you want to ask her.
I got a couple of the garage sale over in dispatch.
Flipping.
It's a flip.
But that would give us some, you know, that capability. So I know we had talked at one point going internet faxing. The internet town, they don't have that, and I really am hesitant to get rid of all the that T1 that holds all these.
Okay.
A pass line runs, so we figured, and Joby also needs these for his elevators and for the fire and everything. But we broke down, I sent an email out a couple years ago, who has a fax line, and Hellscape up theirs, but otherwise everybody said they wanted to keep theirs, and you figure between $50 and $70 a month for a POTS line, that adds up to a $900 T1 pretty fast. So it just seems more economical to keep the T1, but we want to get it away from the black box equipment, because if that ever decided to blow up, we lose our T1. And the only person who really knew how that worked has retired. So it's going to be kind of challenging to get that removed.
Okay.
But I put the money in, hoping we can get it done.
And then my question would be, do we want to add storage for the attorney somewhere? I don't have any. I think we get the documentation.
$7,000.
$7,000. All right. I think where that's something that I think you said the one they're using is spelling out.
They got a quote for it. Is it 7,000? I can't remember.
Yeah,
the storage
I think they're right.
5,500 or 7,000.
Yeah, they included their software in their computer.
This is the board one. I got just a storage in here. It's a higher dollar amount.
You've got the storage, and I understand you got the storage, and you got the editing workstation as two separate things. I happen to feel at one point a little differently about the workstation and where that belonged than I did about the storage. But I could be convinced either way. I think the storage belongs in IT's budget. I think the workstation, or thought the workstation belonged in the county attorney's budget.
But the annual maintenance after the
year. Yeah, I think that all belongs in IT.
That was IT after, but yeah, the storage is 7,000.
But I don't think they wanted to wait until next budget year for that.
I think they said the storage they could wait till July. Am I remembering that correctly?
Can we check on that?
The software they needed now, but I thought they said they could wait till the storage, but I don't
think they can wait on the storage. What I was talking to Lisa about right now, they're using the old Digital Ally storage that the sheriff bought with their old body cam package. Originally, we put it on there because they were using it, they had plenty of room, but now Sergeant Lenny is getting rid of all the old video off of Digital Ally, so they can completely get rid of that, and he's filling up that storage. There's not a lot left. And sometimes, like with the new system that City of Ames is using, some of those videos are 20 gigs, and their storage is getting huge. We can watch it pretty closely, but I don't think they'll be able to, unless I talk to Sergeant Lenny and ask, you know, if there's something else you can do.
It does say in the memo here, on storage, in bold, please note that even at our current usage rates, storage will run out this calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they don't want to wait.
Okay,
calendar
year
for December.
Yeah, I had
fiscal year starting for storage.
The license that you
are. I might take what they need in storage
as well. And they have said at one point they wanted to keep them forever.
Mm-hmm.
I discourage that. Let's put a time limit on it simply because are we able to still view videos that we saw 10 years ago? We don't have the same equipment. We don't have the same things available to us. So I think forever is probably wishful thinking. Maybe put a 10-year limit on that.
I don't know
the legal department. I think that
tends to
be a policy from the county.
Yeah, definitely, but that was just my suggestion to them. I don't think it's feasible to say you want to keep it forever.
I thought she said 5 years. They can offload them onto working drive. That's what they need to do, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But don't vote. There's state law that's on there.
So you've got that in fiscal year 20, that's a 7,000.
Okay. Anything else? Are there any other licenses in other department budgets, office budgets that didn't get?
I think we have a comment that we have in our budget.
I'd like to see all of it transferred to the IT budget.
And I have some that you bought the software, you're not getting the annual fee, because then
right.
you're using it as a service.
Yeah, so I don't think we have it in our budget either way, so.
If you buy it one time.
Pay for, yes, the solution. Well, I think I had to get it for Marie because she needed it for her.
Yes.
But
it's
just
a one-time.
I don't know.
If it was the $200 or $300 package, it was a one-time.
Those get upgraded as necessary.
It's a free upgrade usually.
Okay. This is for Acrobat.
Oh, professional or standard.
Okay. So, anybody have any other questions?
Thank you, Barb.
Thank you, Barb.
Thank you, Nate.